If you have your Bibles, turn if you please to our text this morning, Revelation chapter 13 and verses 16 to 18. A word about the mark of the beast. Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 to 18. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. Let's pray. Lord, we're living in so many crazy times. We see all kinds of things happening around us that remind us of what your word says about the last days. I pray you just teach us this morning, Lord, about the mark of the beast and what we need to know about it and how we need to be prepared for it and how we need to avoid it. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. The practice of gematria is where you take all kinds of numerical values for letters and alphabets of languages so that you can spell out hidden messages with numbers. So in English, A would be 1, B would be 2, C would be 3, and so on. And did you know that when you take the English word corona that has 6 letters and assign the numerical values to all the letters, you get 666 or 666, which is the mark of the beast. And I'm not saying, I'm just saying. And it's no wonder, because with this whole mess caused by the coronavirus and all the damage it's done all over the world and everything we see experts and politicians doing trying to take advantage of it, people are thinking about the end times and the mark of the beast and 666 all over again. And it's something that has baffled people ever since John wrote about it in the book of Revelation 2,000 years ago. Well, what is the mark of the beast? And what does it mean? And what do we need to do about it right now? The text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. The book of Revelation tells us what's going to happen on earth right before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And this part of Revelation chapter 13 tells us how the earth is going to be ruled by two different beasts. And our text today tells us one of the things they're going to do to put the clamps on is force everybody to take the mark of the beast. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today to wise up and have absolutely nothing to do with that mark at all. Our text this morning, Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 to 18, tells us three things that we need to do to understand the mark of the beast and what we need to do about it. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to understand the mark of the beast, we need to know who the beast is. And I'm not talking about NFL running back Marshawn Lynch, who's known as Beast Mode. The Bible says in the last days, after all the Christians and the Holy Spirit are taken out of the world, Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, the beast will rise out of the sea, out of all the chaos in the world. And powered by the devil, everybody and his brother will go gaga over him and fall at his feet. Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. Mr. Popularity. And he'll win The Bachelor and American Idol and the Oscars and the Nobel Prize all at the same time. And he'll set up a one world government and sign all kinds of treaties and suck up to Israel and build the Jews a brand new temple in Jerusalem. And Revelation chapter 13 verse 5 says for 3.5 years there will be peace all over the world. But then 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 3 and 4 says the beast will reveal himself for who he really is, the Antichrist. And he'll persecute the Jews, and he'll set up an image of himself in the temple, and he'll trash and blaspheme God and cause all kinds of hell all over the earth. Snidely Whiplash, Simon Bar Sinister, and Cruella de Vil, all rolled up into one, times a billion, only he's going to be real. That's the beast. And he will be aided and abetted by his propaganda minister, the false prophet. Revelation chapter 13, verse 6, the next beast that comes. And it's the job of the second beast to get people to worship the first beast. And there's your unholy trinity. The devil is like God. The Antichrist is like Jesus Christ, and the false prophet is like the unholy spirit pointing people to the Antichrist. Because every single thing the devil does is a ripoff of what God does. The false prophet will do all kinds of miracles, even calling fire down from heaven to deceive people, verse 13. The Antichrist will be fatally wounded, but the false prophet will raise him from the dead. Just like after Jesus died on the cross, the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. Romans chapter 6, verse 10. And verse 15, the false prophet will cause the image of the Antichrist, the statue in the temple, to come alive and speak. Even though it's only God who really has the power to give life to anything. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, the false prophet will do all kinds of false miracles to lead people astray and lead them to hell. And then verses 16 and 17, to consolidate their power, they will force everybody to take the mark of the beast on their right hand or their forehead. On their forehead too, because not everybody has a right hand. Mariah Carey's wife, Nick Cannon, has a tattoo of Mariah's name on her back, on his back, as a sign that his heart really belongs to her. So the mark of the beast will be a sign that everybody belongs to Antichrist and that their heart belongs to the devil. All through Scripture, God put His mark, His seal, on the foreheads of His people to show that they belong to Him. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4. God put a seal on the foreheads of all the faithful remnant of Israel. Revelation chapter 7, verse 4, God will put His seal on the foreheads of the 144,000 evangelists. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says that God seals all of us Christians with the Holy Spirit. And right here on our foreheads, He writes this, holiness unto the Lord. Exodus chapter 28, verse 36. So verse 16, the false prophet will put his seal, his mark on everybody. Small and great, rich and poor, slave and free, everybody, to show that they really belong to the Antichrist and to the devil. And verse 17, to get people to take it, if you don't take that mark, you won't be allowed to be a part of the economy or to participate in any way, shape, or form. No seal, no sale. You can't buy food or gas or get a job or go to work, or get a credit card, or get on a plane, or take a trip, or get married, or go to the doctor. Kind of like trying to function in America today without a social security number, only a lot worse. Because the word could here in Greek in verse 17 is a lot stronger than could, where it says could not buy or sell. That actually means absolutely not. So that means there won't even be any black market out there that people can buy from, because no defying the Antichrist in any way, shape, or form. And anybody who doesn't take the mark gets killed. Yikes. So the trillion-dollar question has always been, who is that beast? Who is the Antichrist? And for 2,000 years, nobody has ever been able to figure it out. Verse 18 says, if you're smart enough, calculate the number. So over the years, people have used gematria to come up with all kinds of names that supposedly add up to 666. But the problem is, gematria doesn't work in any other languages besides Greek or Hebrew, because those are the languages that the Bible was originally written in. So all the possibilities that people have come up with over the years are absolutely ridiculous. The Antichrist was not Adolf Hitler, regardless of how many people think so. The Antichrist was not Henry Kissinger, or Bush 43, or Barack Obama. I've got a 400-page book explaining to me why the Antichrist was Ronald Wilson Reagan. It wasn't. And sorry, all you never-Trumpers, but Donald Trump is not the Antichrist either. And the MAGA hats are not the mark of the beast on people's foreheads, because Donald Trump is way too big on America to try to take over the rest of the world. And do you know why nobody's ever been able to figure this out in 2,000 years? Because we can't. You can play with those numbers till doomsday. It won't do you any good, because we will never know who the Antichrist really is until after he's revealed. Verse 18, you calculate that number to confirm who he is after he comes, not to predict who he is before he comes. And I know there's some Christians listening to the sermon right now saying, Kevin, the Antichrist, he's already come and gone a long time ago already. And you know why they say that? Because they believe in something called preterism. The idea that everything in the book of Revelation isn't going to happen in the future because it's already happened in the past. And John wrote the entire book of Revelation about persecutions that Christians were going through back in the Roman Empire way back then. So the Antichrist, the beast, was just Emperor Nero. But there's some problems with that. Because Nero didn't rule for 7 years like the Antichrist will. Nero didn't destroy 3 nations after Rome fell, and Rome didn't fall under it. Nero didn't resurrect after a fatal wound. Nero didn't create a global 10-nation empire. Nero didn't set up a statue in the temple in Jerusalem. Nero didn't force all people in the world to put a mark on their hand or their head. I could go on and on and on. All kinds of things the Antichrist will do when he comes to rule, Nero didn't do any of them. And Nero died long before the book of Revelation was ever written. But, the preterists say, you add up the numerical value of all the letters in the name Nero Caesar, it equals 666. Yeah, when you use the Greek form of his Latin name, transliterated into Hebrew, with one vowel purposely left out, multiplied by Javi Baez's batting average in July with 2 outs and runners in scoring position. And if John really thought the beast, the Antichrist, was Emperor Nero, how come all the early church fathers who came immediately after John didn't think it was Nero at all? Nero doesn't fit. You know why? Because preterism isn't true. The Antichrist is not somebody like a beast who's already come in the past. The Antichrist is somebody like a beast who's still to come in the future, just exactly like the book of Revelation says. The first thing that we need to do to understand the mark of the beast, we need to understand who the beast is. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to understand the mark of the beast. We not only need to understand who the beast is, we also need to understand what the mark is. And when you say mark of the beast, people automatically think of that number 666 without having any real clue what it's really all about. Over the years, all kinds of metal bands have used that number to sell albums, like Iron Maiden, Beast from the East, Marilyn Manson, Antichrist Superstar. There's even a 666 cough syrup today. Back in 2008, a man from Qatar paid $2 million so he could have the phone number 666-666-6666. Talk about a hotline. Last summer in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a prison inmate named Roger Wood tattooed 666 on his forehead. But people, let me ask you, does that guy look very happy to you? How's that mark of the beast working out for you? Well, our text today tells us what that mark really is. The Greek word for mark in verses 16 and 17 is kamarga, and it literally means a design made by a cut or a scratch. So right away we can rule out the mark of the beast is not anything that is outside the body. Like thermograms or retinal scans or facial recognition. Or your Kroger card that records how many pork rinds and chocolate chips you buy every month. The very first Apple computer sold for $666.66. But the mark of the beast is not a computer. The molecular weight of Viagra is 666, but the mark of the beast is not Viagra. The mark of the beast is not the NIV Bible, like all the King James only Christians claim it is. The mark of the beast is not that cross that the priest draws on the foreheads of Catholics on Ash Wednesday. For crying out loud, evangelicals, would you stop bashing Catholics and claiming that everything they do is demonic? I know we disagree with them on some major things, but for heaven's sakes, the mark of the beast is not just a tattoo. Because there's all kinds of tattoos walking around out there today that weren't forced on people by some grand poobah who was in charge of the whole wide world. And why does it matter what the mark of the beast is? Because if you refuse to take that mark, you and your entire family are shut out from society and treated like lepers. And starved and hunted down and eventually killed. And if you do take that mark, the book of Revelation says over and over and over and over again, you will never be forgiven for it in this lifetime or the next. Now, famous Bible expositor John MacArthur said this, "Can there be forgiveness for people who take the mark of the beast?" Absolutely. But folks, what Bible is he reading? Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 11 says, "If you take the mark, you will be tormented in hell with fire and brimstone, and the smoke of your torment will rise day and night forever and ever and ever." Doesn't sound like God's going to give anybody a mulligan to me. No forgiveness. And the big question is, with the whole issue today of the COVID-19 vaccine and the possible inclusion of microchips, could a microchip be a part of the mark of the beast? And the answer is, yeah, it could be. Because RFID tracking chips have already been implanted in people's bodies for so many years now, that's old hat. That's standard technology today. Bars and nightclubs in Spain today are even microchipping their own customers so they don't have to shell out cash for drinks. And Bill Gates, along with the United Nations, the governments of 60 different countries, international health organizations, Big Pharma, Silicon Valley, Microsoft, I can go on and on, have already been working for years with the goal of microchipping every single person on this planet with some kind of a digital ID by the year 2030. And ever since October of 2019, they've been looking for some kind of technology that they can implant in everybody's body along with a vaccination. Bill Gates said this, "We are trying to develop a recording and tracing mechanism, some type of digital certificate that can give everybody a digital ID and record all kinds of information, and that can be easily read by any smart device and can be delivered along with a vaccine. And for the sake of the health of the whole world, it will have to be a mandatory part of the vaccination process, or we will never be able to go back to any kind of normal." Did you catch the part about mandatory? And in case anybody's wondering, Sue and I do not have cable TV, so I cannot and do not watch Fox News. I purposely never look at Facebook, and the computer that we have at home is way too slow for us to watch all those YouTube conspiracy videos. You can get all this information that I'm talking about right now just by reading the websites of all those organizations that I mentioned just a couple of moments ago, which is where I got this. And I know there's people listening to this sermon right now saying, "But Kevin, Snope says that Bill Gates doesn't want to microchip anybody." Yeah, just because he doesn't want to call it a microchip. But what are they going to do? Store all the information and all the records and all the data for all 7.7 billion people on the earth in a big file cabinet? No, they're going to use some kind of nanotechnology, whatever they call it, that can be implanted in people's bodies to store it all. And the concern is, it's not just vaccination records, because an official with the ID 2020 Alliance said this, "This digital certificate will contain not only health records, but birth records, family history, financial records, travel history, driver's license, driving records, criminal history, gun ownership, as much information as possible to help meet the UN sustainable goal of truly creating one global community and one global economy." Do we see what's coming? And the question is, who's going to oversee this information? And what are they going to use it for? Because whoever controls that data controls your life. People, I do not believe that Bill Gates is the Antichrist, but he's sure supplying all the tech support that the Antichrist is ever going to need to control everybody and rule the world. And I know somebody's hearing me right now saying, "But Kevin, nobody is going to force anybody to get a vaccination." Really? Famous constitutional law expert Alan Dershowitz said this, "Let me put this clearly. You have no constitutional right to endanger the public and spread disease. You have no right to not wear a mask. You have no right to open up your business. You have no right to not be vaccinated, even if you disagree. And if you refuse, the state absolutely has the right to take you to a doctor's office and plunge a needle in your arm." Who's not going to force everybody to get a vaccination? And here's the kicker. Just last week, Moderna, the drug company that's funded by Bill Gates, announced that their final phase of testing for their version of the COVID-19 vaccine is going to start as early as this summer. So the question is that a lot of Christians are struggling with, Christians who seriously want to obey Jesus Christ and respect His Word. If that vaccination gets approved and it comes along with some kind of a microchip, some kind of technology, do you take it or not? Because I'll tell you right now, I don't want to. Polls show 50% of Americans don't want anything to do at all with any kind of a COVID-19 vaccine whatsoever. I never even get a flu shot because no flu shot is more than 45% effective every year. And vaccinations come with aborted baby DNA and formaldehyde and mercury in them, so no thank you. But the bigger question is this. Would a vaccination like that, that comes along with some kind of a nanotechnology that you would be forced to take, is that really the mark of the beast that John is talking about here in Revelation chapter 13? Well, look at verse 17 and notice this. Any real mark of the beast is not just something that's going to allow you to buy or sell, like a credit card or a bank account. The real mark of the beast, to be the real mark of the beast, also has to include what? Verse 17, the number of the beast and the name of his number. His number and his name. So the number one purpose of that mark is not money. It's worship. Because every single verse in Revelation that talks about getting the mark of the beast says that getting the mark of the beast is an act of worship. So to get the real mark of the beast, you have to knowingly, purposefully, consciously, willingly reject Jesus Christ and be devoted to and worship the Antichrist and the devil. That's why Revelation tells us everyone who takes that mark is condemned to hell forever. Because they willingly rejected Christ. They can't be forgiven because they don't even want to be forgiven. So if you're asked to take a vaccination and it does not require you to renounce your faith in Jesus Christ and sell your soul to the devil, then go ahead and take it and don't worry about it. Because God sends people to hell for willingly rejecting Christ. God does not send people to hell for doing what they have to do, even if they don't like it, to make a living and feed their family. Does everybody understand that? So you can take a vaccination, just don't take the mark of the beast. And God will tell you if it is when you see it. Back in 2011, 52-year-old Walter Slanopas started working a maintenance job at a metal manufacturing company in Clarksville, Tennessee called Contech. And right before they hired him, the company updated to give every employee their own ID number so they could use it to clock in and out and get paid with. And they used a totally outside, independent accounting agency that didn't know any of the employees from Adam and that chose all the numbers at random. And come to find out, the number that they chose for Walter Slanopas was 666. And because Walter Slanopas is a born-again Christian, he ran to HR and said, 666 is the number of the devil. I'm a born-again Christian. I want my number changed. So the accounting agency, they switched his number to 668 because they didn't care what the numbers were. But then 3 weeks later, 666 appeared again on his paycheck. So again, he went to the company and he said, well, I want my number changed back to 668. They changed it back to 668. 3 weeks later, he got another paycheck with 666 on it again. And his W-2 had 666 on it. And a spokesman for the accounting agency said they had no idea, no clue in the world why that number kept being associated with Walter Slanopas. And even though everybody made fun of him and said that he was an idiot for even worrying about it, no matter what he tried, week after week, month after month, 666 kept popping up on his paperwork. So finally, even though Contech begged him to stay and he was a really good worker, Walter Slanopas just up and quit his job. And then what do you know? God honored his obedience because 4 weeks after he quit, Contech closed their doors in Clarksville for good. And then 2 months after that, Walter Slanopas got another job in Clarksville with another company for $12 an hour more and better hours. Gee, do you think God will bless us if we don't take the mark of the beast or what? Now, I know that was probably some computer glitch or something, but folks, the principle is still the same. You do not take the mark of the beast. No matter what form it takes, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it may cost you. Because all God's blessings are more than worth it, and especially eternal life in Jesus Christ. The second thing we need to do in order to understand the mark of the beast, we need to understand what the mark is. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to understand the mark of the beast. We not only need to know who the beast is, we not only need to understand what the mark is, but third, we need to know the timing of this whole thing. Because the time is not quite yet. The picture you see there on the screen, upper left-hand corner, is a timeline that shows all the major events of the last days. And yes, I'm an old-fashioned pre-tribulation rapture guy. Notice, we are here, church age. The Antichrist doesn't morph into Cujo and start marking people until halfway through the tribulation, which is way over there. So any COVID-19 vaccine now could not be the mark of the beast because the Antichrist hasn't even been revealed yet. Now, could I be wrong about that timeline and where we are on that timeline? Yeah. But I don't believe I am because do you see any Antichrist in the world right now? Has he been on Jimmy Kimmel in The View and I just missed it? Do you see a new Jewish temple in Jerusalem today? Any fire falling from heaven lately? Because somebody would have Snapchat that for sure. Have they officially dissolved the United States of America yet, even though God knows a lot of people want to? No. So that time isn't here yet. Which means that anybody listening to this sermon, if you already have been microchipped, for whatever reason at all, that means you have not taken the mark of the beast and you are not condemned to hell for it either. Now, is the end getting close? Absolutely. Because folks, all the technology and even the mindset is already in place for the big global government rollout. We are already living in a surveillance society that the Antichrist is going to use to control everybody in the world. Your phone is still recording all of your conversations even when it's turned off. Your iPass is telling somebody constantly where you are going and where you're at right now. Your coffee maker and your refrigerator even are storing information about when you get up in the morning and when you go shopping. Everything about you. Every time Sue and I go to the movies, we're just about the only ones who don't pay with our phone. So don't tell me we're not moving to a cashless society. And right now, social media, YouTube and Facebook are censoring anything that doesn't praise and glorify the New World Order. The whole COVID-19 pandemic was a trial run for the global government rollout. Even though 99.74% of all people who get COVID-19 recover from it, even though J.P. Morgan this past week said the entire lockdown was totally, totally unnecessary, how quickly and how easily they got everybody to shelter in place and crash the economy. And at a time when people needed the Lord the most, all the churches were closed as non-essential operations. Folks, the powers that be have to be absolutely amazed how many Americans just went along with it and complied and rolled up in a ball. Bill Gates says one thing governments can do to get people to accept the microchip is to promise to pay off all their personal debt if they do. And if you don't think that idea will work, look at how many Americans had a conniption fit about their $1,200 stimulus check. And now 84% of Americans want even more. The Antichrist comes promising the moon, people will run to him with open arms. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3 says the Antichrist is already in the world because the devil never knows when the end is coming. He always has a candidate in every generation just waiting in the wings. People, we are closer to the end right now than we have ever been before. We're just waiting for the Antichrist to step on stage and raise the final curtain. Which means that time's a-coming when everybody's going to have to make that decision. Are you going to take the mark of the beast or not? What are you going to do when they come for you and it's your turn? Because there's all kinds of people listening to this sermon right now you're not saved. Which means you're going to have to go through the hell on earth of the tribulation, and you will face the Antichrist, and he will tell you to take the mark of the beast. And if you do, you're lost forever, and you spend eternity in hell. If you refuse, you won't be able to hunker in a bunker like a prepper, because there won't be any getting away at all from the Antichrist. He will hunt you down and he will kill you. And because you're not a Christian, you will be lost forever and spend eternity in hell that way too. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But see, if you're a Christian and you're trusting in Jesus Christ, you're trusting that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and you've asked him to come into your heart and be your Savior, you're going to go to heaven and reign and rule with him forever. So let me ask you, how much time do you need to decide that heaven is a better place than hell? How much time do you need to decide that it's better to be sealed by God than to be marked by the beast, because hell is not worth it? And if you do get saved right now, if you accept Jesus Christ right now, you're not even going to be put in that position where you have to make a decision about the mark of the beast. Because all of us Christians are going to be raptured out of this world before the tribulation even starts. Because Revelation chapter 3 verse 10, Jesus is going to make sure that we won't even have to go through that hour of temptation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 9, Jesus saves us from the wrath to come. And there's all kind of Christians today who don't believe the rapture. You say, Kevin, the rapture, that's not a word that's even in the Bible. So what? The word Trinity isn't in the Bible either. But we know that's true. But Kevin, I don't believe in the rapture. That's okay. You will. When that trumpet sounds and you go flying past the Milky Way galaxy at warp 9, you will. Folks, listen, y'all can stay down here and play chicken with the Antichrist if you want to. I am out of here. I'm going home in the morning train. Last one up, turn out the lights. Christians, listen to me. The book is called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. So the star of the show is not the Antichrist and the mark of the beast. The star of the show is Jesus Christ and His death and resurrection and His reign and rule forever and ever and ever. So this book is not about fear, it's about joy. It's not about defeat, it's about victory. Christians, we know how this whole thing is going to end. We win. We win because Jesus wins. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the very end of the world, which means especially now. Verse 18 says this calls for wisdom, not hysteria, because God is going to give us all the sanctified common sense and all the leading of the Holy Spirit that we need to make all the right decisions about everything in these last days. You cling to Him, you cry out to Him, He will make sure you get this right. Jude 1:24, He will keep you from falling. Just trust Him. And I know there's some Christians listening to me right now saying, Kevin, but what if we're wrong? What if the rapture doesn't happen before the Antichrist comes? Well, then I guess all of us Christians are going to find out just how faithful to Jesus we really are. Won't we? Like so many other Christians have already done for 2,000 years. From 249 to 262 AD, the entire Roman Empire was terrorized by a pandemic called the Plague of Cyprian. That was caused by a virus that was probably spread all by the Roman army as they traveled all over the Roman Empire. Was named after St. Cyprian, the Bishop of Carthage, who helped all the believers keep their heads on straight during the pandemic. And it was so bad, at its peak, it was killing 5,000 people a day in the city of Rome alone. And it triggered something called the Decian persecution, the seventh major persecution of Christians in the Roman Empire, named after Emperor Decius, who blamed the plague on Christians, rejecting the gods of Rome for Jesus Christ. So Cyprian had the idea he could stop the plague by forcing Christians to deny Jesus and make a sacrifice to the Roman gods. So all over the empire, believers were ratted out. And soldiers would come to their home, to their farm, to their business with a candle and a little bit of salt or incense, and told the Christians all they needed to do was throw a little bit of salt into the flame of that candle, say, I deny Jesus. That's it. Then they would be given a certificate to prove that they had sacrificed, and they'd be left alone. But if they refused, they were executed on the spot. So it was do or die. And because the Roman soldiers were very good at torturing people, they knew that Christians were much more likely to cave if they tortured their spouses or their kids in front of their eyes. Well, 251 AD, a Christian man named Trypho was arrested near Nice in France. Roman soldiers came to his farm and told him to offer a pinch of salt into the flame of the candle and say, "I deny Jesus." But Trypho refused to do it. And when he refused, the Roman soldiers took his wife, Denicia, and beat her and whipped her in front of him. But Trypho wouldn't cave. So they took Denicia outside and heated up red-hot metal iron bars and burned her over and over again on her bare back and on her stomach. And she screamed and screamed till she couldn't scream anymore. But Trypho still wouldn't cave. People, can you imagine? All the guy had to do, all he had to do was throw a stupid pinch of salt into the flame of that candle. It would have been over and his wife's life would have been spared. But he couldn't do it. Because God said, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." So those Roman soldiers took a big pile of burning coals, laid them out on the ground, took Denicia with no clothes on and held her down on her back and her stomach on those burning coals and burned her skin through so bad her guts were showing on the inside. But Trypho still wouldn't cave. And Denicia died 30 minutes later. Then the Roman soldiers took Trypho's two little boys, ages 4 and 6. And ran them over with an ox cart back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, breaking most of the bones in their bodies. They were screaming and crying. But Trypho still wouldn't cave. So then the Roman soldiers sewed those two little boys up in a big cow skin and made a bag and put scorpions and poison snakes in the bag. And Trypho could hear his little boys screaming out for daddy, trying to save him and asking him to help him. He couldn't do it. And then the soldiers took that bag with the little boys in it and threw it in the lake. And Trypho could hear his 4-year-old and his 6-year-old son screaming for daddy as that bag disappeared under the water for the very last time. There are parents listening to this sermon right now. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that you wouldn't do for your spouse or for your kids, the people you love more than anything else in the whole wide world. But Trypho could not do that. Because Jesus said, Matthew chapter 10, verse 33, "You deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven." Trypho wouldn't cave. So then the soldiers took Trypho and drove nails through his hands and his feet like they were going to crucify him. They took a meat hook and punctured his lungs and punctured his stomach. Then dragged him through the streets and burned him with torches and gave him one last chance to deny Christ. And when he refused, they cut his head off. But witnesses recorded this, the last thing that Trypho said. "How can I ever deny my Lord? For as much as I love my life, my love for Him is even more. And to love my life more is to forfeit life eternal. Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit." Like so many other Christians over the last 2,000 years, he did not love his life so much as to shrink from death. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And Fox River, what if I told you right now this church was totally surrounded by soldiers? So there is no escape and you can't get away. And here's the candle. And here's the salt. And all you have to do, every single one of you, all you have to do to save your life and the lives of the people that you love the most, your spouse, your kids, other people in this room, all you have to do is take a pinch of salt, throw it in the flame, and say, "I deny Jesus Christ." That's it. That's all. You do that, everybody's fine. You can go back home this morning and eat lunch. And mow grass, and go swimming, and go to work tomorrow morning. And 2 weeks from now, you can all get together for Father's Day. But if you refuse, you and every single person that you love ain't getting any older than the next 10 seconds. Life is on the line. Eternity hanging in the balance. Do or die. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when they come for you? And it's your turn. And you know what? The biggest mistake you can make is to say, I'll decide then what I'm going to do then. No, you decide now what you're going to do then. Because then your choice is already made. It's already been determined, and you are far more likely to do then what you decide to do now. And that choice is very simple. It's Jesus or the devil. It's God or the world. It's eternal life or eternal death. It's heaven or it's hell. And the good news is, you can make that choice. You can make that choice today. You can make it right now by confessing your sins and asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart. By believing that Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins and rose from the dead for your salvation. And asking Him to come into your heart and your life to be your Savior. See, if you do that now, you won't have to worry about the then. Because you do that now, you trust Christ as your Savior, you won't have to worry about the Antichrist or that demonic tattoo. Because you will be raptured, I believe with all of my heart, out of this world with all the other Christians before the tribulation and the Antichrist even shows up. And folks, I don't know about you, that day can't come fast enough for me. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? There's a whole lot of people going home by the signs of times. It won't be very long. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll soon be gone. There's a whole lot of people going home. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll soon be gone. There's a whole lot of people going home. Lord, we are living in crazy, scary days, faced with decisions that we never dreamed that we would be faced with. And Lord, we are not able to do this on our own. And the good news is, You never asked us to. Lord, You will give us that supernatural wisdom to know what decision to make in every case. And I just pray, Lord, for people who are not ready. People who, as of now, are not going home when You sound that trumpet and rapture your saints to heaven. People who don't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray that people would open their eyes and You would open their hearts to the leading of Your Holy Spirit. They would be saved today, confess their sins, put their faith in Christ as Savior and Lord. I pray, Lord, that You would just help us to see all the people, Lord, that need that Word that gives life all around us every day. Lord, we're trusting You right now to do what we cannot do. You are going to keep us safe. You will keep us from falling. You will help us do the right thing in every situation. All these things we ask in Your name, and thank You. Amen.